word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
I heard a story about a small boy who was on the witness stand in an important lawsuit. And the prosecuting attorney was cross-examining him and delivered what he thought was going to be a crushing blow to the little boy's testimony. The attorney said, "Your father's been telling you how to testify, hasn't he?" And the little boy quietly said, "Yes." "Now," the lawyer said, "just tell us what your father told you to say." The little boy cleared his throat, thought about it for a second, and he said, "Well, my daddy told me that the lawyers would try to tangle me in my testimony, but if I would just be careful to tell the truth, then I could repeat the same thing every time." That daddy gave his son some of the best advice that any father could ever give a child. While we were raising our children, or especially as our children were very small, there was one rule that we had that we tried not to budge on in any circumstance. Now, parents have different ways of disciplining. This is not what this is about. In most things, we were willing to be flexible. We might use a timeout, or we might use some other kind of taking away of privileges. But there were some occasions in our home where we practiced discipline, spanking, in other words. Of course, you don't have to cross over into abuse to be effective with spanking, but there are times when the situation calls for it. The Bible says that the rod and reproof will give wisdom. And there was a rule in our home that there was one thing that was going to get you a spanking every time without any consideration whatsoever, and that was telling a lie. We tried to instill in our children that you'll only make the situation worse by trying to tell a lie to cover it up. The only way you can make the situation better is to tell the truth. Nothing is more fundamental in showing our love for God and our love for our neighbors than to be a person who will tell the truth. In the Ten Commandments, the Bible says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor," Exodus 20, verse 16. Someone who tells lies about his neighbor can cause tremendous harm, with even the possibility of the loss of life. And under the Old Testament, a witness had to be willing to stand by everything that he or she said. If you were testifying in a case that involved the death penalty, which in the Old Testament that would be by stoning, then you had to be willing to cast the first stone when the punishment was executed, Deuteronomy 17, verse 7. So obviously then you're not going to say something unless you're willing to stand by it. If you testified against someone and were found to be a false witness, then you would receive the death penalty. And so there again, you better not say anything that you're not willing to stand by. But whether in a legal case or in everyday situations, God wants us to be a true witness in everything that we say. Leviticus 19:16 says, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." You see, lying is a serious offense to God. He is so offended by lying that it is the one thing that is actually mentioned twice in the list of seven things that God hates. Now, we know that God is love, but we should never think for one second that because God is love, that there are not some things in the world that God hates. He does. In Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, the Bible says, "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." God hates pride, he hates murder, he hates evil, but there's only one thing that he mentions twice in that list, and that's lying. He hates a lying tongue, and he hates a false witness who speaks lies. So, in order to make sure that we are seeing this situation as God sees it, let's study some things in this lesson today that will enhance our respect for honesty. Let's strive to see this situation as God sees it. Let's ask some questions, and then let's go to the scripture for the answer. Here's our first question. How do people lie? Maybe we don't need to labor this point, but still it's worth making sure that we're all on the same page. Lying is an intention to mislead someone. You're trying to convince someone to believe something that you know is not true, generally because it is to your advantage in some way to cause them to believe that, and it would be to your disadvantage for them to know the truth. Now, one may mislead someone by falsifying the facts. You may try to mislead someone by deliberately telling them something that you know is not true. But one may also mislead someone by concealing the facts. In other words, it's not so much by what you say, but what you don't say, and by withholding certain information, you cause someone to believe something that is not exactly true. That being said, one can lie without even saying a word. One can lie by an expression on their face or by a gesture. One can lie just as much by what they don't say as by what they do say. We need to understand that when it comes to honesty, a high percentage is just not enough. Being honest 80% of the time is not integrity, because the people that are around me won't know when I speak if this is the 80% or the 20%. They won't know if they can trust it or not. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Put away lying and speak truth. Psalm 34:12-13 says, "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days? Who's going to live a good life and enjoy the life that he lives?" Well, the man who does this, who will keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. A man who lies makes life miserable for himself and for everyone around him. But the man who is determined to speak the truth will live a blessed life, and his life will be a blessing to everyone who knows him. You may be surprised to find out just how many different forms of lying are mentioned in the Bible. And it's important for us to recognize each one of these, so that if they ever arise in our own lives, we can recognize them and immediately strive to put them away from our lives. So let's talk about a few of these things. The first and most obvious form of lying is to simply falsify the facts. Is to know the truth and to speak the opposite of it. We see an example of this in 1 Kings chapter 13. There the Bible tells us about a young prophet who was given an order by God to go up to Jeroboam and proclaim a warning against him. And he was told that to go straight to Jeroboam and deliver that warning and then go straight home. Not to eat with anyone, not to socialize with anyone, go straight there, carry out his business, and go straight home. So he goes to Jeroboam, and he gives the warning. And Jeroboam offers to hold a great feast for this young prophet. The young prophet refuses. I have to go back home just like God commanded me to. But while he's on the way home, an older prophet sends his sons out to the younger prophet to extend an invitation to come and eat in his home. Now, at first, the young prophet says, "No, I can't do that. God has given me strict orders to go straight back home." And that's when the old prophet lies to the young prophet. In 1 Kings 13, 18, the older prophet says, "I too am a prophet as you are, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water.'" Now, folks, that was a lie. I'm sure of it. There's no angel that would ever have said anything like that. No angel from heaven, anyway, that would have said anything like that to the older prophet. No angel would ever contradict an order that God had given to someone. The prophet lied. He lied because he wanted the young prophet to come to his house. It was to his advantage to tell this lie. The truth was a disadvantage to him in this particular case. So he lied to get what he wanted. I would like to tell you that the young prophet could see through that lie. He should have. He should have known that no angel would contradict an order from God. But unfortunately, he was deceived, and he went and ate with that prophet, and even while they were sitting at the table, God pronounced a judgment against that young prophet. He was killed after he left the old prophet's home. Sometimes people will do that. They know the truth, and they will deliberately say the opposite because it is in their advantage. But also the Bible talks about some more subtle forms of lying, but they are lying nonetheless. For example, the Bible talks about flattery. Psalm 78:36 says that nevertheless they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue. Flattery and lying are two things that are cut from the same cloth. In other words, I'm giving someone a compliment that I don't really mean. I'm bragging on them as for qualities that I don't really believe they possess, but it's to my advantage to build them up and flatter them with these words. The Bible talks about many kings who were deceived into giving people what they wanted because the people came to them with flattery, and their ego was so inflated by the flattery that they gave them whatever they wanted. Even if what you're saying is nice, if you're saying something that you don't mean, it's a lie. It's a lie. We lie by misrepresenting situations. Proverbs 14:5 says that a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Now, a faithful witness is going to report on all sides of the situation. It's going to report on everything he or she knows about the situation. But when we get into a conflict with someone, or we get into certain situations, we may be tempted to tell only the side of the story that helps our cause. We may leave out other aspects of the situation because they don't help our cause, even though they are important pieces of information. Job's friends misrepresented God. Satan misrepresented God when he came to Adam and Eve. We see this over and over again in Scripture and in life. And it's a lie. It's a lie to only tell one side of the story, particularly when we're only telling the side that benefits us. Another form of lying is false teaching. And that may be the most dangerous of all forms of lying. In Proverbs 30 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Do not add to God's words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." See, when I'm teaching something in the name of God and God's word that's not consistent with God and with God's will, then my lie can put a soul in danger. My lie may convince a person that they're saved when they're really not saved. My lie might convince someone that their life is right with God when it's really not right with God. My lie may convince someone that what they believe is true when what they believe is false, and that can put their soul in danger. So when I speak for God, I better make sure that everything I say is backed up by Scripture. Because then and only then can I be sure that what I say will lead to the salvation of a soul. Another subtle form of lying is to only tell a half-truth. We might tell something that's true, but we leave out another part of the situation that's very important. Like, for example, when Abraham went down to Egypt, and also when he went over to see Abimelech, he was afraid that the people there would see how beautiful his wife Sarah was. They might even try to kill Abraham so that they could get to her. So Abraham's plan was for them to tell those people that she was his sister. He said, I pray you say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, that I may live because of you. Well, that was true. Abraham and Sarah shared the same father, but they didn't share the same mother. So in a sense, she was a sister, but she was more than just a sister. See, to say she is my sister was only telling part of the situation, and it was leaving out really and truly the most important part. In Egypt, Pharaoh was interested in Sarah. He pursued her. That was putting Sarah's life and putting God's promise at risk. And it just goes to show you how dangerous lying and half-truths can be. One final form of lying that is mentioned in Scripture is exaggeration. Isaiah 66 and verse 6 says, "We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so." If I exaggerate my accomplishments or my qualities, I'm deliberately saying more than what I know is the truth. Well, that's another form of lying. Another important question as we consider this subject would be, why do people lie? What are the reasons for lying? And the Bible addresses this as well. Some people lie out of cruelty. They lie with the intention of destroying someone or getting revenge. This is exactly what the Sadducees did to Jesus. They were jealous because he was becoming more influential than they had been. People were following him. People admired and respected him. They were giving themselves to his teaching. The Sadducees were losing their following, and they were furious about it. So when they put Jesus on trial, the Bible says in Matthew 26:59, that the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. They wanted to destroy Jesus, so they made up these stories that they could use against him. People do that every day. People are angry with someone, people resentful towards someone, and they'll make up all kinds of things and tell all kinds of stories just to slur them, to destroy them. It happens every time you turn on the news, and it's sad. It's sad that we live in a world where that's such a common thing. People lie out of fear. People lie in an attempt to escape the consequences of the truth, to avoid punishment. It may not be punishment, but it just may be uncomfortable or undesirable consequences. In either case, people just don't want to live with the consequences of the truth, so they make things up. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then found himself in the painful situation of having to explain to her husband and explain to the people why she was pregnant with David's child. Instead of being honest about the situation, David tried to cover it up. He lied. He lied because he was afraid to face the consequences of what he had done. But he couldn't hide. He couldn't run from what he had done. In Psalm 32, verses 2 through 5, he says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. But I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." All the while that David was lying and trying to cover up his sin, his conscience was weighing heavy upon him, and life was miserable. But the moment he started to be honest about his sin before God, God forgave him, and God cleared him of that sin, and that brought hope, and that brought peace and forgiveness. Lying only makes things worse. The only way that we can ever make things better is to be truthful. People also lie to try to impress people. They try to make themselves look better, or they try to cover up their insecurities. Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of land, and then they wanted to give part of the proceeds of that to the church. But when they gave it, they wanted to the church to believe they were giving everything that they had made, so they lied about it. God struck Ananias and Sapphira dead on the spot. And Peter pronounced this judgment against them. "Ananias, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Why has Satan filled your heart? You've not lied to men, but you've lied to God." The last thing is that people lie to manipulate. They lie in an attempt to get something that they want. Try to get it through false pretenses. Well, here's the most important question we can ask, and that is, why should we tell the truth? Well, we want to be remembered for honesty. We want to be like God. Titus 1:2 says it is impossible for God to lie. We want to be like Jesus. He is the truth, John 14:6. We want to be like the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he is the Spirit of truth, John 16:13. And we do not want to be like Satan, because he is the father of lies, John 8:44. He tempted Eve by lying to her. He He tempted Job by lying about him. He lied to Jesus. That's how he does what he does, because he knows the truth doesn't work in his favor. The truth works in God's favor. And we have to stop and think, how do I want to be remembered? With whom do I want to be associated? With God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, or with Satan? But also we need to know that we will be rewarded for honesty, but we will be punished for dishonesty. All lying will be exposed. We may fool a number of people, but we can't fool everyone, and we can't fool God anytime. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape, Proverbs 19:5. Sometimes we may be exposed here in this life, but even if not, we will be exposed eventually. I heard about a man who was being interviewed by a company for a high-level job, and the interview was going great. He was saying all of the right things. He had the right personality. He had the right credentials. He had the right intelligence. And when they dismissed the interview for lunch, to take a break for lunch, many on the committee were talking amongst themselves, and it really looked like he was a shoe-in for the job. They went down to the cafeteria for lunch, and he was already finishing up putting the items on his tray and about to pay for his food. And they noticed from a distance that he had gotten some cookies, but in order to try to avoid paying for them, he took his napkin and covered them up so that the cashier wouldn't see them. She couldn't see what was happening, but they could. They concluded if that man will steal cookies, and he'll steal more than that. His dishonesty, his deceit was exposed, and he was exposed for who he really was. Lying always makes situations worse here on earth. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it's on his lips like a burning fire, Proverbs 16:27, and lying burns up everything that's good in our lives. Revelation 21:8 says that the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, Revelation 21:8. God will reward honesty, but God will punish dishonesty. That is a matter a fact. Let me ask you something. What do Cain, Sarah, Jacob, Samson, David, and Peter all have in common? The answer is, the Bible records an occasion when all of them lied. And it shows you that lying can be a temptation for the greatest and the worst of men. The path of sin is to believe and obey a lie. But the path to salvation is to believe and obey the truth. I want to encourage us all today to have the utmost respect for honesty and truth in our lives.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.